Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, that's great. Now, before we pray over the offering, who knows why we collect this money every week?
To help the church.
To help the church? Good answer. To buy a cow. Yeah. You got the right answer there. Because, yes. To donate to the hospital, yeah. We collect money for lots of reasons, to help the church, to help people in need, to buy a cow. And this offering in particular is for the church school, because this is a donation all of you give every week. And you're right, this goes to buy a cow. And we do that through an organization called Heifer International. So I want to show you a picture. This is a picture of a little girl in a country that's far away. And what's behind her? Yeah.
A cow.
And what she got in her hand? Yeah.
Milk.
A glass of milk. Right. So your money helps go buy a cow, helps buy a cow for families who don't really have enough money to buy food, or they live far away from grocery stores, so they need to rely on the animals. They can't just go to the store and buy milk. They need an animal to get the milk. And when they have a cow, they can feed their families and their children. And if they have extra milk, they can give it to their neighbors or maybe even sell it so they can make money. So your money in this basket is going to help buy a cow for a little girl, a little boy, and a family in another part of the world. And that's pretty amazing that you can do something like this, right? With just this basket of dollars and coins. Well, you guys, even though you're small, can do a lot to help others in the world. Not just when you're this size, but when you get to be a bigger kid, like a teen. And right now, we're going to hear from one of our teens. We've got Emma Piles, who has a project that she's working on to help others in the world and in our community in particular. So we're going to invite Emma to the lectern, and she's going to tell us about her mission project. So let's listen to Emma.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Emma Piles, and I'm working on my Girl Scout Gold Award project, which is called Equalizing Citizenship. The goal of my project is to inform members of my community about the information on the U.S. citizenship exam, because studies have shown that two-thirds of natural-born citizens could not pass the test. As part of my project, I'm collecting new and gently used coats for the International Institute of New England. This organization assists refugees and recent immigrants to New Hampshire who may not have supplies for winter as it gets colder. I really appreciate all of your support and assistance, and thank you to everyone who has already brought in coats. I know they will be greatly appreciated. There'll be a box in the narthex through the end of October. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you, Emma. So you guys, you turn around. You see at the end of the aisle there, we've got a box and a bag just filled with coats. Could a couple of you go down and get them and bring them up? And we're going to put them right here on the chancel, and then we're going to bless them. Yeah, go down. Whoever wants to go, whoever wants to help. It might be a little heavy, so we might need a couple more of you. But no, Sandra got it. All right. Strong guys. Make way so they can come through. I'm going to put it right up there. All right. So let's all stretch out our hands, and we're going to bless your offering for Heifer, for the cow, and we're going to bless the coats for the immigrants and the refugees in New Hampshire, okay? Let's pray. God, we are grateful for all the generosity of these children and all the people in our congregation, for the money they've donated, for the warm coats they've donated, and for the help that it's going to bring to those who are cold, those who are hungry, and those who are homeless. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's pass the peace now. We'll turn around and face the congregation. And then we'll send you off to church school. On the count of 1, 2, 3.
May the peace of God be with you.
And also with you. Thank you, guys. Nothing like a rousing anthem to warm up a cold sanctuary. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And here, Jesus tells us yet another parable. Now, Jesus often used parables, as we know, as a way to answer three primary questions that always seemed to be on the minds of his followers. And those questions are, what is God like? And what does the kingdom of God that Jesus is always talking about look like? And when can we expect this kingdom to arrive? Now, Jesus' parables were often short and to the point, and they typically involved a shifting of perspective. Characters behaved in unexpected ways. Stereotypes were turned upside down on their heads. The good guys often turned out to not be the good guys, and the bad guys turned out to not be so bad after all. So in the parable we're about to hear, we have a judge and a widow, and each comes with an accompanying stereotype. Judges were supposed to be wise and just and deserving of respect. Widows are supposed to be silent and weak and deserving of pity. But in this parable that Jesus tells, the judge is most certainly not just, and the widow is most certainly not silent. And on one level, we want to delve into the characters we meet here and uncover what Jesus is saying about us. How should we act? How should we treat one another? And what does justice look like in our world when the powerful and the powerless collide? But on a still deeper level, Jesus invites us to consider those three questions that were always on his followers' minds. So as we listen to this parable about a judge and a widow, let's ask ourselves, what does this parable tell us about who God is? What does it tell us about what God's world is like? And what does it tell us about when we can expect it to arrive? So let's listen now to this parable of the judge and the widow from the Gospel of Luke, and listen also for the word of God.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'"
So where do you find the presence of God? Do you find it here in church on Sunday mornings? Do you find it out in nature on a mountaintop or watching a sunset? Do you find it in music or art, at a concert or in a gallery? How many of you find it while stuck in traffic on 101? Or while waiting in line at Market Basket? Now, these last two are not likely places where many of us think to say, "I can just feel the presence of God here." wedged between my bumper and the bumper of the guy in the SUV next to me who's trying to push his way in at the construction merge. Or stuck in the checkout line between the lady who's trying to pay with expired coupons and is holding up the entire line, and the guy behind her who most definitely has more than 12 items in his cart. Now, it's easy to find God in a Sunday service, or in a sunset, or in a sonata, or on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. It's not so easy to find God in the places where we don't expect to find a presence of the divine. In the pile of dirty dishes that's collecting in the sink of a single father who's trying to care for his three children all on his own. In a holding cell where a middle-aged woman who has been arrested for DUI sits, as she's been arrested yet again. Sitting on the bathroom floor with a cancer patient who's enduring yet another round of chemo. God is found not just in the beautiful and the bountiful moments. God is found in the messiest and most human moments of life as well. Now, the first century people who followed Jesus around were trying to understand who God was by asking, where can God be found? Is God in the temple or seated on the royal throne, waiting for us to lift up praise or to atone for our sins? Is God in the streets or in the mouths of the prophets, urging us to care for the widow and the orphaned and the poor among us? Or is God far away, looking down at us from heaven, not caring if we're starving or suffering or in pain? So what is God like? Is God a judge or a king? Is God a rescuer or a revolutionary? Is God a distant and disinterested deity? Now, Jesus responded to these wanderings in terms that the people would understand. He told them parables. God is like a father who throws a banquet when a prodigal son returns. God is like the owner of a vineyard who pays all of his workers equally, regardless of how long they've labored. And God is like a judge who hears a woman's cries for justice and responds because he's only tired of hearing about it and just wants her to go away. Well, that's not really what Jesus is saying here. The twist in this particular parable is that God is not like this apathetic judge. This judge who grants justice only to a few and only when it's in his best interest to do so. That's human justice. The fickle justice that we see measured out in dribs and drabs to some but not all, because it's filtered through our biases and our fears and our greed and our limited understanding of each other and our world. God's justice is not like this. God's justice is for all of us, because none of us will truly be liberated or redeemed or healed until all of us are liberated and redeemed and healed. The catch is that God's justice will come in God's time. But Jesus reassures us it will come. And as we wait, Jesus calls us to live into it, to live as if it's already here. and to bring glimpses of God's world into our world. Now, this parable that Luke tells us about the widow and the judge follows on the heels of the parable that we heard last week about the poor man named Lazarus who died outside the rich man's gate. These parables serve as two sides of the same coin. As we think about what it means to serve God in the world by serving others and seeing others. Now, we may struggle with this particular parable about a widow and a judge because, once again, the filters and limitations of our language have tamed it in a way. In the English translation that we just heard read, the judge says, "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice." Now, this dilutes Luke's more colorful wording, which in the original Greek says, "Because this widow has given me a black eye, I grant her justice." "She's bothering me" may have us picturing a gnat or a mosquito buzzing around the judge's head. And for his own peace of mind, he gives her what she wants to make her go away. Now, in contrast, "She's given me a black eye" may have us picturing a boxer or a street fighter, or perhaps a political scandal that brought on by this woman calling this judge out in public. So to save face and his reputation, he grants this woman's request. Now, there are times when we human beings choose to do what is right, not because it is what is right, like admit when an injustice has taken place and then we take steps to rectify it. We do it only when our own interests are at stake. And we saw this during the civil rights movement, when images of demonstrators being set upon by dogs were filmed and broadcast across our country. And the realities of racism landed in the living rooms of white Americans who added their voices and their votes to the voices of the black Americans who had been screaming for justice for centuries. And we saw it when Matthew Shepard, a 21-year-old college student in Laramie, Wyoming, was tied to a fence and beaten to death because he was gay. Giving a name and a face to the victims of LGBTQ violence and bringing to light the real fear that many face in just admitting who they are, and softening the hearts of those who once looked the other way. Now, it's much harder to dismiss, ignore, or discredit an injustice when you see it with your own eyes. In a perfect world, it wouldn't take videos of black people being set upon by dogs or a young man strung up on a fence in a cornfield to take notice of instances of injustice that don't directly affect us. In a perfect world, in God's world, we would take notice just by paying attention to how we are treated versus how others are treated. By listening to those whose experiences of this world is less welcoming and less just than the way we experience the world. And by believing those who trust us enough to tell us, "This is my experience, and this is the pain I've experienced because of it." By believing that we're all connected and that none of us is free until we're all free. And the prophet Micah once said, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Now, on Mission Sunday, we lift up the many ways that we serve others in the world as church, through our financial support and our direct service. But being church is about so much more than feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and housing the homeless and picking up collections for the poor. Direct service is a huge and important part of being church, and it is worth recognizing and encouraging ourselves to continue to do this, to help in this way when we have the means to do so. But if we're seeking to bring glimpses of God's world into our world, then we need to do justice in a much more expansive way and ask ourselves, why is this person struggling to feed their family when they're already receiving public assistance? Why is this person unable to afford an apartment when they're working two jobs? And why is this person arriving on our doorstep or at our border with only the clothing on their back? What is the underlying injustice that needs to be addressed? And where might we find God's presence in its midst? And if we look, we will find God's presence in the sunset and on the mountaintop. But we will also find God in the courtroom and in the prison cell, in the war zone and the darkened rooms where vets are living with PTSD, in the hallway of drug dens and halfway houses, and in the homeless encampments that we find hidden under highway overpasses and in city alleyways. Because where we find God, where we feel God's presence, we can't help but respond to God in some way. We may smile at the unexpected explosion of color that we see in a sunrise. We may cry when we hear a moving piece of music. We may create something of our own when we see God in someone else's creation, in their painting, in their poetry, in their passion. There is something in the connection with our Creator that pulls at us, that moves us, that inspires us to do something in response. So when you look out at the world, where do you see God? How is God calling you to respond? And what justice might you do to bring God's world closer to ours? Thanks be to God, and amen.